Sometimes the pain inside your darkness cuts so deep you'd rather die. Standing on your own has left you wounded with an emptiness that longs to feel alive. You are not alone. I'll be there when you fall. You are not alone. I'll be there through it all. And I will reach out my hand to let you know, for this battle, you are worth it all. For this battle, you are worth it all. The tears we share, they are my prayer for you. They are my voice, they are my song. Words of hope I sing, they come from trials I've been through. So you would know that you're loved and you belong. You are not alone. I'll be there when you fall.
There you have it. You are worth it all. I don't know. I feel like I'm worth about $1.50. $1.280, as my dad used to say, that Weisenheimer guy. Hey, welcome everyone to the Road to Recovery. I am your live host for today, November, what the heck today is? 24th of 2019. Welcome to the Road to Recovery. I'm your host. I said that, didn't I? I'm redundant. I'm repeating things. Oh, no. What's going to happen? Oh, well. Hey, stick around. You never know what will happen. Okay? I'm here because I'm sober. Another day. So today, being the 24th of November, means that I've been sober 24 years. 2 months and 24 days of continuous, uninterrupted sobriety. Wow, big audience here tonight. No room. I don't know where the hell they're sitting, but you know what? I don't know, man. There's so many aquariums in this office now. I got three set up, and they're beautiful, and I love them, and the fish are doing really well. And so if you guys need some fish, come see me. Maybe I'll give you some or share some or maybe I'll charge you a few bucks. Hey, pay for my fish food. Hey, either way, I'm doing better things with my life today than I did before, you know? And what did I do with my time before? I lived for Miller time. That's right. I lived to get drunk. I couldn't wait till the time was when I was getting drunk. And, boy, that's just no life to have. Oh, excuse me. I don't know. For some reason, I'm really tired today. Are you? Are you tired? Are you tired at all? I am. I don't know why. Busy, busy. Work, work. You know, I had a relaxing day today with my wife, the lovely Mrs. Martha, you know, and we started out by going to church. I went to church to listen to her sing. She sings every once in a while, plays the bells the other times, and I told her I am not interested in being a church person, okay? If you are, that's good. Whatever works, whatever floats your boat. I'd like to think that I have a relationship with my higher power, who I choose to call Jesus Christ, okay? But I don't feel a great need to go to church, you know, and sit there and talk to him and see these people put on these shows. This one minister, I don't get it. She's so animated when she does this, and she just... It's just so unreal, unnatural to watch her talk. And it just bugs me. And I shouldn't get bugged, you know? I should be okay. I go to see my wife sing. She sings. She does a great job. She said to me, Dan, why don't you get on the praise team and sing with us? And, you know, I don't want to do that because it really is all about Martha. And I don't want it to become about me because I've done that route. I went on the praise team and did that with a different church and, you know, it's different people and everything. But and it was fun. It was great. But it just I guess it got too close, knew too much about the church, what the goings on. I mean, I just read about some minister, okay, and this is really none of our business, but a minister who earned $1,300,000. You know, I got to scratch my head and go, is that what the Lord would really want to see looking down and saying, hey, keep it up, man. Make that bucks. Knock it out. Knock it out of the park. Look at that salary. Holy cow. I wonder, you know, if Jesus was alive today, what would they pay him as a salary? You know, really, what would they pay the Lord? The Lord Jesus is here. And, you know, what are you going to pay him? I don't know. What are you going to bring? I have no clue. That's amazing. I don't know. He is not of this earth. And why do we struggle to be of this earth? Nah, who cares? Hey, listen. I have not drank for another week. That's another week I have under my belt. I'm grateful. How did I do it? Well, you know what? I did go to a meeting or two this week. I needed it. I think I need to go a few more meetings. You know what? I also walked for the first time in about a month. You know, I got out of the habit of walking. The lovely Martha had me walking every day. No, she didn't have me walking. She just encouraged me. Said, hey, you might want to walk. It's good for you. Why don't you? She runs a couple days a week, maybe 3 or 4 days a week. So I was walking, and I was feeling good. And I used every excuse in the world. Oh, it snowed, it's cold, it's this, it's that, it rained, to not do it. And I stopped. And, you know, it's amazing how your life, your age, your everything creeps up on you. It's like, holy cow. And so we went for a walk today, and I thought, wow, this is what I'm missing. I'm missing the outdoors, the scenery, the air, the feeling. I was feeling pretty good, and so I'm going to try it again tomorrow, see if I can get back into the habit of walking once, like a mile or so a day. I know it's probably good for my brain, I think it is. Definitely meetings were good for my brain. Last weekend, I gave the lead at the Open AA speaker meeting. And I went again this week and, ran into a guy who, he just reminded me so much of myself in the beginning. You know, the stages, how, you know, the expectations and this and the that. And, you know, I don't know. I said hello to him. He was a great guy. Paul, so if you're listening, Paul, hello. I want to say hello to Mary and Julie, if you're listening, some new people. Met last night, had a great time. We were at a fundraising event for animal shelter. And I got to tell you something, folks. An animal shelter that spends $5,000 to, you know, give a dog a better quality of life to live. You know, I love pets. I love animals. I just think that there are people that need money to live. I don't know if that's the wisest thing. Maybe, you know what? You got to love dogs, man. They just take so much people, you know? They do. They take so much crap from people. Oh, well, hey, listen, this is a live broadcast, as it always is, from 7 to 9 p.m., or at least 7 to whenever I run out of steam. And I'll put on some music and whatever. But you can call in if you have a comment, a question, a thought, an idea, story, you know, personal experience. Area code 323-580-5755 here on the road to recovery. So, yeah, if you want to join us, I welcome your call here on the road to recovery. Call me up. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what works for you, what worked for you. And, hey, we'll laugh, we'll giggle, we'll tell stories, we'll do whatever, okay? We're going to be here, and we have been for, wow, could you believe it? We've been here on the air just under, you know, 7.5 years. 7.5 years, and nobody's given us the axe. Well, a lot of people hang up. What's your listenership? Well, it's down to about 150,000 people, and I don't know. I don't know if I have anything that anybody wants to hear anymore. A lot of old stories, a lot of memories, I got to tell you, but the most important thing is I didn't drink. Now, I was talking with the lovely Miss Martha, Mrs. Martha, about pot, the hot issue in Illinois. Marijuana becoming legal January 1st. What's going to happen? That's a big question. It's a good question. I don't personally have an answer for it. Do you? Are you going to smoke if you were sober? You know, I don't know. I want to stay sober. I want to stay clean and sober. I want to keep a clean mind. You know, there's so much going on in my life. It's a tough time of year for me, business-wise, because sales are down. It's a little bit slower. Bills are still high. People still want to get paid. It's amazing how people still want to get their money, you know? And you tell them, well, listen, it was easier when I was making money, but I'm not making money right now, and I don't think they really care. They just want their money. So, but you know what? This program has taught me financial insecurity is a thing of the past. You know what? I do put a lot of faith and thought and power in my higher power, with whom I call Jesus Christ, absolutely. And you know what? I'm only going to function and still be here if he really wants us to exist and to keep going forward. You know, so maybe there's some purpose that we have here. Maybe we've touched somebody. Anna in New York, I tell you what, impressed. She's doing really good. My friend Danny, he's either here or he's in Florida, doing good, you know, and we have a bunch of people. Steve-O, okay, Steve's checking in. Hey, thanks, Steve. Thank you for updating the page. If you haven't, go check out the roadtorecovery.club page. That's a good page. You know, Ronnie, go figure. Ronnie is settling into a pattern of good, I don't know, I don't want to say good sobriety, but I think acceptance for Ronnie, and he's getting it, and he's stopping the fight he has with a lot of things. and getting out with his life, really. That's really the most important thing, getting out with his life, moving forward. And that's definitely a good thing. Okay. 187, 188, 190. Yes. Okay. So topics for tonight's show. What are the topics for tonight's show? You know what? Oh, I think we were going to talk about, really, I really mean this. I think we're going to talk about codependency. Codependency. What is codependency? You know, it's really simple to explain codependency. Codependency, well, that's, you know what? Why don't we get a hold of, let's see if Google or somebody can tell us what, let's see what, I always like to, you know, I can open my big bazoo, tell you what I think, but then I'd rather get somebody, let's see, codependency, let's see that, let's see, codependency, excessive emotional or psychological reliance on a partner, typically one who requires support on account of an illness or addiction. Yes. Symptoms of codependency. Codependency is characterized by a person belonging to a dysfunctional, one-sided relationship where one person relies on the other for meeting nearly all their emotional and self-esteem needs. Then you may be in a codependent relationship. The following is a list of symptoms, 10 warning signs. Ooh, let's get them. What are 10 warning signs you're in a codependent relationship? Are you a codependent person? Ugh. Okay, Debbie, I met you, and I don't know if you're listening to the show tonight, but okay, here. We talked about this. Are you a codependent person? Ugh. I am so not a codependent person, said the codependent person. I'm way too independent and responsible to depend on another person like that. In fact, it's all the other people in my life with the issues, and I'm stuck cleaning up their messes. I didn't think I was a codependent person either until I was slammed into reality one night in a Barnes & Noble aisle. There I was, sprawled out, sprawled under the four shelves, labeled addiction, desperately thumbing through each book with shiny streaks down my face. What does that mean? My husband's painkiller habit escalated to a full-blown addiction, and at that point, sitting in the aisle, I felt myself crumbling under the weight. Family and friends regularly told me how strong I was for keeping everything, including my marriage, together all these years, but I had no strength left. When people innocently asked me how I was, I started to sob. I wasn't okay. And yet the answer I found that night completely changed the course of my life. When I started to read about codependence from the book Loving Someone in Recovery by Beverly Berg, I unexpectedly saw myself. The more I researched codependency, the more I saw every issue that plagued my adolescence. Okay? My adolescence, remember, where'd you go? That plagued my adolescence and new adulthood. Indecisiveness, insecurity, toxic boyfriends, and a chronic need to control all huddled under one umbrella term. For the first time, I understood myself and every woman in my family in a new, brighter life. Most codependents attract troubled or dependent people into their lives, and our chronic helping and fixing unknowingly perpetuates the cycle. We're very nice, responsible, loving people. We just have weak and stunted boundaries. We love to the point of exhaustion, neglecting our own needs and wants to take care of other people. We're always there to help or give advice, often without anyone asking for it. Believe it or not, it's very subtle dysfunction, like low boiling simmer that heats up our lives just enough to be uncomfortable yet bearable. Except, trust me, it'll eventually burn you out, burn you and everyone you love. In a lot of ways, the sacrificial, martyr-like role of codependence is totally culturally acceptable, especially for women, but that doesn't make it healthy. Now get that. It makes it culturally acceptable, especially for women. A codependent person is one who has let another person's behavior affect him or her and who is obsessed with controlling this person's behavior. You know, I checked on Mark. Okay, Mark used to be a sponsee of mine years ago. Okay, years ago. And Mark just didn't want the program. He said he did, but all his actions said he didn't. And his wife finally left him. And his kids finally stopped wanting to talk to him. For the longest time, I believe, they were just disrespectful. Okay? Very disrespectful. His own kids, and I know it was harder than him. And then finally, his wife left him, divorced him, took their business that he started and created with her, but he pretty much put it together. She took it over, and she's paying him alimony. And he's sitting there going, what happened? And it's clear and obvious what happened. He didn't quit drugging. He didn't quit drinking. He thought it was a joke and a game, and he kept thinking that they were going to keep taking him back, and they stopped. They actually drew a line in the sand and said, no more. No more. You know, when I first met them, he would laugh and talk about how many times he'd pass out and how many times he drove drunk and this, that, and everything. And he was with his wife, and I honestly said to his wife, how are you putting up with this? Right in front of him, I said, how are you putting up with this guy? And he thought it was a joke until she finally put her foot down. And we even talked about drawing the line in the sand when he was in rehab and what he should do. And she actually did it and stuck to it and ultimately left him, ultimately divorced him. And so I stopped by his house. I happened to be by his house again. I did this about 2 months ago, and I did it again and knocked and knocked about 3 in the afternoon. And he came to the door finally and asked me what I wanted. He looked absolutely horrible. He said he was in bed. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he said he was in bed. I was on the phone actually with somebody. I was surprised he answered the door. So I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I walked in, and right in front of me, he keeled over and fell backwards and hit and fell on the floor. And he was knocked out or passed out for 10, 15 seconds. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm asking him if he's okay. And all of a sudden he just comes back awake, jumps up, tells me I got to leave. I said, do you want to go to a meeting? No, I don't want to go to a meeting. I don't want any of that. Goodbye. Get out of here. I'm like, okay. You know, you can't make somebody want a good life. You can't make somebody, it's like a runner running a long distance race. If he tells everybody he's going to run the long distance race and there are people pulling for him or her sitting on the sidelines encouraging him, go, 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 go. But if they give up and they don't want to do this, they're not going to listen to anybody. They're going to just fall by the wayside and not run anymore. They're just going to stop. And that's what this guy is. See, it's a marathon, folks. Getting sober is a marathon. It's not just for today. It's for hopefully an extended period of time. But all we have to worry about is today. And some people think they're going to a sprint and that they're going to run it. When it's done, it's over, they can celebrate, they can go back out. Hey, I did it. I stopped drinking for a whole week or a whole month or a whole whatever. And now I'm going to go back out. And they do. It's amazing. They do. They go back out. And why? Why do they do that? Why do they go back out? Just because it's an easier, softer way. Easier, softer way. Okay. It might be obvious to look at it in a romantic relationship or marriage. See if you relate to any of these. These are talking about codependency. You're dating or married to an alcoholic or addict, any kind of an addict, and you have a history of attracting damaged people into your life. I got to tell you something. A long time, I attracted a lot of damaged people into my life, and I welcomed them, and always thinking I'm going to fix them, and, you know, all it did was just bring me a lot of grief and aggravation. I'm glad and grateful that I finally learned to draw a line and say, no, you cannot be a part of my life. I don't need this crazy in my life. And the people around me who love me and care for me don't want other crazy people in my life because it affects them too. So, number two, you do things for your partner that he or she can and should be doing, all in the name of love. In fact, maybe your mother or sister repeatedly tells you that you help this person a little bit too much. You know, we all have this instinctive need to want to help somebody. Hopefully they will reward us with love and affection if we do help them out. Sometimes we do it because it just feels good for us and maybe gives us a feeling and a sense of power and control. Don't know. You have to figure it out yourself. Number three, you let your partner have his or her way and then feel overwhelmed with anger and resentment. Look at all I do for you is a common phrase in the codependent's vocabulary. Oh, gosh, yeah. It's one thing to be an alcoholic and a drug addict, of which I was. I was an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic in recovery, by the way. Alcohol was my drug of choice. But you know what? I was a codependent too. Isn't that amazing how many hats you could wear? You could be a codependent and still be a... excuse me. Let's see. Number four, you feel responsible for your partner's actions and behavior because love. You feel responsible for their actions and their behavior. I talked to this lady this week, a wonderful lady, and she told me that it wasn't the first thing she came out and said, but after talking with me for a while, she explained that her ex-husband, who she divorced, is living with her. I got to tell you, lady, okay, you aren't the only one. There's a lot of people that have their ex-spouses living with them for a lot of reasons. Big part of it is because you're codependent, okay? You think you are helping them. You think it feels good to help somebody, but, you know, you're bringing in, it's like if Superman welcomed kryptonite, he knows it's a problem. And he knows it's a problem with him, but he thinks he's going to be able to handle it if he can control it. Why would you even want it anywhere around you? It's not a good thing. It's like kryptonite, people. It will take away your power. Number five, you're always talking about, worrying about your partner's issues. In fact, you make them your issues. You're so worried about their jobs. Are they going to be able to keep them? Are they going to have a relationship with your kids, friends, family? All these things, yeah, they're real life issues. They're real life problems. And why are you worrying about somebody else's stuff? Number six, you've allowed irresponsible, hurtful behavior in your relationship, not just physically, but emotionally or financially. Instead of walking away, your deep compassion for this person makes you want to stay and help. I've been there. We all want to help. You know what? We think that, and I know this for myself, I thought that if I stuck in there and hung in there and did all this stuff for this person, that when they got their act together, they would be so grateful and appreciative that we would fall in love and be in love and stay in love and live happily ever after. I got one word for that. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong thinking. Stinking thinking. Not going to happen. We're going to talk about what you should do, but let's keep going. Your partner's mood affects your day in both good and bad ways. Yeah, if they're having a good day, you might be happy, but then again, you might be worried, oh, my God, but what happens if it goes bad? And if they're having a bad day, you're like, oh, my God, another day bad. How much more can I take? Yeah, that's a reality. You always want to know what your partner is doing or thinking, and you often get involved in his or her business. You know, yeah, mind your own business. Mind your own business. You know, that's one thing the program has taught me, okay? It's taught me that my side of the street is majorly in need of my attentions, okay? It could be in good shape, but it still needs my attention, and I need to spend my time, energy, and efforts there. Leave other people's streets alone. It's not my business. I am not the street police. Okay. Your partner's needs always seem to be met, while your needs and wants are ignored. Yeah. Because we're sitting there going, well, if I do this for you, you will get better, and you will do this for me. You will see how I'm treating you and realize that that's the way you should be treating me and do so, and yet you don't. Yeah, that's for real. And you walk around. I walked around and my needs were never met. And I was wondering what's going on. In some instances, they don't care. That's the amazing part. And you say, how could they not care? How could I be involved with somebody that doesn't care? But you can, people. You can. Number 10, you have trouble pinpointing your own feelings and thoughts, or you diminish and deny how you feel. Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll get over it. Yeah, it's my issue. Sorry, I didn't mean to spill it in. That's it. You keep talking. Instead of saying, I feel like shit, or I had a bad day, or I need a hug. Your feelings aren't that important, and you play them down. And yet, the most important thing to realize is your needs are not getting met, okay? That's what you really should recognize. Your needs aren't getting met. Now, if any of this makes you say, oh my gosh, that's so my mother, then that's another sign of some deep codependent programming, as this is a learned dynamic. Codependents and addicts, for that matter, are almost always children of codependence passed down like a family legacy. Of course, the roots and symptoms of codependency are individual and nuanced. Some codependents have next to no boundaries around things like their health and happiness, handset or hands raised, while others have developed walls so thick and tall that no one can get in. 7 ways people who have been emotionally abused love differently. And some codependents are also dealing with addictions known as double winners. And so their experience is different than mine. All in all, though, codependency is emotional dysfunction that affects so many aspects of life. Taking care of our needs, really loving ourselves, isn't selfish or narcissistic. It's actually incredibly healthy. Expecting reciprocity and respect from our partners isn't realistic. It's love. And allowing someone to hurt us like an addictive husband says more about our self-respect than it says about them, because we've allowed it into our lives. Wow. Okay? And I got to tell you something. Yeah, you know, these questions, well, you know, what's going to happen to our relationship? If I put my foot down, what's going to happen to this and what's going to happen to that? And, you know, and ultimately what happens is somebody's going to get healthier. And it could be everybody or it could just be you. But you should work a selfish program and take care of yourself. That's key to everything. Taking care of ourselves, working a selfish program. Okay? Working a selfish program. That doesn't mean you can't care for other people. It doesn't mean that. I can care for a lot of people, but I got to take care of my needs first. It is unfair of me to have expectations from my wife even. My wife. And I expect her to make sure that what? I'm fed? That my clothes are clean? I don't have an expectation. I am grateful that it is. I am grateful that I have something to eat, that, you know, all the other things. But if you know, like, if I'm out of milk, I'm not going to stomp my feet and say, why couldn't you pick up milk for me? I'll say, I'll go to the store. Maybe you want something, too, while I'm gone. What would you like? See, that's what the program has taught me, that I need to take care of myself more gooder than other people, gooder than other people, because it's not fair to other people that I would, you know, demand such in their lives, in my life, and that's it. It is what it is. Okay. You're listening to The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Link Local Network of Broadcasting. I don't know what they talk about that. There's like one or two other shows in this Link Local Network. And I think, I just know that we've been doing this show for a while, and I like doing it because you know what it does? What do I get out of doing this show? You know what? I'm still sober. I am still sober, and life really is getting better and better for me. I have my... we don't want to do that. What was happening there? Oh, I got my phone. Maybe that's it. Okay, putting it by the speaker. Don't do that. Don't do that. A broadcasting snafu. Boo-boo. Don't do that. Okay. You know, we're broadcasting from the office, my real estate office, here in West Chicago, to the world, whoever wants to listen. And if you get something out of it, great. If you don't, guess what? I'm still getting something out of it. I'm grateful for that. That's a really cool thing about the program. It's the selfish part of the program. There's nobody paying me or Steve to do this, and I appreciate Steve. Thank you for putting the show website together and, you know, just sticking in there and hanging in there. You know, you've just been a good friend, and I appreciate that. Hello and shout out to your lovely wife, Orlando. You know, that's a cool name. I don't know that I have ever heard anybody with that same first name, actually. Orlando. But it doesn't matter. I've heard many Dans, and the only one I have to know is Dan the real estate man. Okay, but we do this broadcast, and I've been sober for a long time, and always looking for ways to strengthen that ability to stay clean and sober. First of all, I don't hang out in bars. Okay, big thing. You know, there's always a question. If you hang out in a bar, you know, I heard it said the other day, if you hang out at a barber shop, you'll probably get a haircut. Same thing with bars. If you hang around in a bar, you're probably going to have a drink. I talked to this one guy who was at a club and at a meeting, and he was explaining how after 8 years of being sober, how he went back out and started drinking. And I said, well, how did that happen? Because I wanted to know. He said, well, I got together with some friends of mine who were sitting around a campfire. And I said, okay. And then he said, well, they were passing a bottle around. And I was in that circle. And every time it came by me, I took it and passed it and said, nope, thanks, I'm passing it. He said, by about the sixth or eighth time, he said, oh, what the heck, why don't I just have one? And that was it. He had one, and he started on his journey again back into drinking. And fortunately, it wasn't very long, but he was able to get back out. And not everybody makes it out, though, guys. See, that's the sad part. It is sad, too. When people can't make it out because they just can't break away from the addictive nature of drinking. It's not just a physical addiction, boys and girls. No, it's not. It's a disease of the body. Disease of the body. You can physically overcome alcohol, the physical aspects of addiction, of any addiction, I'm told, in the first 30 days. 30 days, you can kick the addiction from your body. Excuse me. Live show. No. Excuse me. Yeah, you can get over the addictive nature of alcohol in the first 30 days. It's the mental obsession that captures us and keeps us thinking about alcohol. Sorry. But that's it. It's not a big secret and mystery. We have our minds take us back to drinking. So I went to this evening out yesterday, this fundraiser with my wife. And, you know, Cokes are free. I could drink for free. The wine was about $7 a glass for wine. Okay? And the people at my table, some of them were drinking. And I offered my services to drive them home if they wanted to, because it's not a good idea. And the one tells me, well, I told myself because I'm taking medications for pain that I shouldn't drink a lot. Okay, people, if you're taking medications for pain, you shouldn't drink at all. There we go. Hopefully that's going to correct it. You shouldn't be drinking at all if you are taking medications for pain. Pain, medications, and alcohol, no, no. That's a no-no, and that is not good. Okay? Oh, let's see here. Let's do a quiz. Do we have any quizzes? Yeah. Let's see. That's a different one. Triangle, green, red, romantic quiz, parenting style, sexual. Okay. Am I in an abusive relationship? You have to ask that question. Isn't that amazing how you always have to ask a question? Repeatedly, you give destructive, gives you destructive. If somebody gives you, you are probably the victim of an emotional abuse if your partner repeatedly gives you destructive criticism, verbal threats, and browbeating. Number two, always claims to be right. Now, I don't know. I won't say that I'm in an abusive relationship, but I got to admit that the lovely Mrs. Martha is most always right. Unbelievable. And she even says, yeah, I'm usually right. She's humble about it, though. Okay, excludes me from, excludes me, from making decisions, claims to be the head of the household. Well, today we cleaned the basement. I have an aquarium equipment down in the basement. Today we cleaned it up because we're anticipating the grandchildren to come over for the holidays, and they're little destructive memes, you know, and nobody cares. They put them downstairs, close the door, and figure they will break what they break and not even worry about it. But now I've got aquariums down there. I don't want anybody getting hurt. So we had to make sure we safeguarded as much as possible. Okay? Okay. Abuses your trust by lying, hiding important information in papers, cheating, or being inappropriately jealous. Don't have that. Minimizes or denies abusive behavior. Don't have that. Constantly shows disrespect, puts you down, or embarrasses you in front of others. Don't do that. We have fun. We had fun last night. We met some people, Mary and Julie. They were, and Bernie, a guy named Bernie. I actually met a guy named Bernie, and I said, hey, Bernie, can I come spend the weekend with you? I said, you know, the first time it's going to probably be good, but the second time, Bernie, it'll probably be even better, won't it? And, you know, I didn't know if he was catching the association with weekend at Bernie's, but I would certainly have fun with it. He was a much older man, so I didn't know if he's grasping it. Okay, let's see. Harasses you by following you or checking up on you. I think that insecurity, and I think that more than anything, he's probably cheating on you anyway. Prevents you from seeing your relatives or friends, insists on going everywhere with you. Yeah, that's certainly a control factor. And monitors your phone calls. Yeah, I had that with a relationship, and no, not doing that again. Was not healthy, was not correct, and, you know, it ultimately ended up as a bust. So it's not a good thing. Like I said, I've been blessed with a wonderful relationship with this woman who is just so on key, on kilt. She's caring, considerate. She's independent, strong, yet very much a lady. Love her. That's my wife. Okay, you're listening to The Road to Recovery. Area code 323-580-5755. If you'd like to call in and make a comment, a question, anything. It's always fun when somebody calls in. So, you know, we always encourage you to call in. I remember, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that, we were bombarded by people with Tourette's syndrome. I don't think so. I think it was like a global or a national, let's screw around with Danny Boy thing. It was actually kind of funny. But if it was real, you know, you don't want to laugh just in case it was real, and, you know, somebody's really getting hurt or was hurt by it. But if you were there, if you would have listened on the show, you would have probably said the same thing I did. I don't think so. No. Yeah, not at all. Okay, we're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour. It's about 15 minutes to. We have talked a little bit about codependency. Are you codependent? Do you think you're codependent? Do you know somebody who is codependent? And what do you think about that? Do you think it's your job and responsibility, or do you even think you have power and control to stop somebody from drinking or drugging? You know, I remember a lady in my life, much older lady than myself. She had sons my age. And she used to track them down out of the drug houses in Aurora because he would go do crack cocaine. And here's a guy who had an incredibly good job with one of the big utility companies for years. And he was losing it. And his folks somehow managed to save him and his pension. They fixed up and sold his house so he wouldn't lose it because he wasn't paying the mortgage on it. And they figured since they were in real estate, they would go ahead and do it anyway. So they sold it in his behalf, made him a ton of money. It was quite the experience. And do you think he was grateful? No, I went to her house one time when she was getting much older. And she wrote me a note and said, "Please help me. I'm being abused by my son." And she didn't look abused. I didn't see any marks on her or anything. And then before I left, she begged me for the note back. Said, "I need that note. You can't have that note. I won't let you leave without that note." And I said, "Listen, if you are being abused, you shouldn't. And you shouldn't allow it and shouldn't accept it. But I'm not going to chase you if you don't want help. If you don't want help, again, you can't help somebody who doesn't want help, right? You can't help somebody who doesn't want help. So save your energies for people that want your help. And the number one person that you should be helping is who? Y-O-U. Y-O-U. Number one person you should be helping. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about, I think we've talked about this before, but, you know, in my job in real estate, I see people, and I see people struggling, and I see some doing exceptionally well. And the ones that do exceptionally well, I want to take note equally of so that I can know what is the source of their consistent happiness appearance. Are they happy? What's going on? And, you know, yeah. And what I'm amazed with is that the people that are doing well know that they need to take care of themselves first and foremost. Now, the husband has to take care of the husband, and the wife has to take care of the wife. You each need to take care of yourselves. individually, severally, that's it. Now, once your needs are met, the next person that you should be taking care of is your husband or your wife, your spouse. That's not number one. And you know what? Most people that I talk to, who they think number one should be in their lives, and that's, they think their kids should be number one. And that's so wrong. It's so not right. Kids will function better if they know they have a working set of parents. They work, they function so much better. They can handle trauma, catastrophes, etc. But if one of the parties is feeling neglected and unloved, they're not included, and having children put above them, it becomes a problem. It could create serious problems in the family and relationship. And I try to explain to them that first, make sure your needs are met. Your needs are the most important needs, and they need to be met and cared for. That's first and foremost. Secondly, then your spouse. Then, number three, your children. And where does your parents fall in all this? They fall in fourth, fifth, sixth, because a man will leave his mother and a woman leave her home, and they shall travel on to where two shall be as one, live as one, and there is love. And that's how marriages and relationships really should function. I do believe that. I am not a therapist or a counselor or anything like that, folks. I just lived a lot of life, and I got to tell you something, that really makes a lot of sense to me. And hopefully it'll make sense to you. Hopefully you'll say the same thing that I did. That makes sense. I should do that. Why don't I do that? Amen. Let's see what we got. One day at a time. Yeah, we got some cool things. Okay. And I got some Betty Boop stuff for my friend Steve-O. How about that, Steve? Did you know that I had some Betty Boop for you? Yep. If you want it, come and get it. Okay. Let's see. I haven't been keeping track of this show lately in the books. I gotta need a new book. The books I have are full. What is this? What is all this? Okay. You're listening to The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Leap Vocal Network of Broadcasting, where I do a live show and I talk about real estate. No. Recovery from addictions. That's correct. Recovery from addictions. And why would I be able to talk about that? Well, because I can speak from the first hand of, you know, my own life, what I do. I work a program of recovery, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to get and stay sober, and I do. Somehow I managed to do that and stay sober. It's wonderful. Been doing it for quite some time. And, yeah, it's just amazing. We all want love, don't we? I know I do. I do. Oh, that's 2019. I'll keep these. I got some books showing all the meetings, and I'm going through this box while I'm sitting here, tossing stuff out. And, sometimes I don't even think before I start tossing. And I go, wait, come back. I don't want to toss that. That's not something of, yeah. We got a lot of interesting material. And you probably, nighttime prayer, better men than we are using a constant. What? Nighttime prayer. I get some pretty cool stuff from you guys. Thank you for all the material you guys send me throughout the week. And you can, you know, you could always send me, okay? You could send me by email, Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, at daare.com. Yeah, I'm looking. Man, we've had a lot of guests on the show and a lot of fun people. I miss them people. How do we get some people? I wonder how those people are doing. My life, my kids' life matters. there were people here, you know, whose kids died from overdose, and they were able to come on the air and talk about it. You know, that's amazing. It is truly amazing. Let's see, what is this? I got some material here that looks like Mike want to read. Neil. Oh, Neil, you're the calling guy. Neil. Oh, I should. Neil, I got you. Neil, if you're still out there, if you ever listen to us, Neil, you should give me a call and say hi. I got this box. I put a couple things in it, and I've been meaning the last 2 years to send it out to you, Neil. Absolutely, positively. Someday, huh? Kind of a teaser thing. There's Al-Anon and Alateen and all kinds of things for people that want help and assistance. Let's see, answering your report. Yeah, I need to throw a lot of this stuff out. I have so much material that and things to read and review. Yes, right. I need to do that. To go through some of this stuff. Here's the Cinco de Mayo when we had Julie Pirelli. Remember Judy Pirelli? Julie Pirelli. Yeah, she was on the air here. I wonder how that's going. Wonder how that is going. When we left, she had lost a child a year earlier, and she wanted to make sure that that kid knew he took a life. I don't know. I don't know how he's doing, what's happening. Johnny Knox. Well, I got to call some of these people, huh? What do you think? Instead of waiting for them to call in, we'll call them up ourselves one of these days. Well, maybe. Who knows? Okay. Well, you're listening to The Road to Recovery, and as I do around 8 o'clock, I turn on the music and listen a little Marilyn Scott until I decide if I'm going to come back on the air and chat some more or what. Again, slow week this week, you know. Sometimes being sober is just flat out nothing going on. And I won't even say it's boring because I'm not bored. I have so many things that go on in my life on a regular basis. I'm for the most part, very grateful for the opportunity of all the people and things that come along my way, you know, and I have material from all kinds of places that I really should, I don't know, go through and use. I'm very equipped. If anybody ever needs to be equipped, just come and see me. Like I said, in case of a nuclear holocaust, look me up. You'll probably be saved because I have enough crap to save the world in my car. Well, it's not my car anymore. It's my truck. The car's gone. Haven't replaced the car yet. Okay, and I'm just rambling on. We're going to listen to some Marilyn Scott for a while. Take a break. Enjoy. You're listening to The Road to Recovery on Blog Talk Radio, part of whatever linked local network of broadcasting. We'll be back. If you want to call in, area code 323-580-5755.
If today were the last of all days, would it change how you feel who you are? Would you rise for a moment above all your fears, become one with the moon and the stars? Or would you like what you see looking down? Did you give everything that you could? Have you done everything that you wanted to do? Is there still so much more that you follow your dream to the end of a rainbow, waving your wand high? that we'd only begin to start living our lives if today were the last of all days. If today were the last of all days. Thank you.
If you write anything on your computer, you need to get Grammarly.
I write pretty much all day, every day, and Grammarly makes my writing.
Let me sigh, let me cry when I'm blue. Let me go away from this lonely town. Won't be long, but my song will be through. 'Cause I know all of my life go round. With a heartache ahead for your goal. Here I go. Now you know why I'm leaving. Got the flu. What can I do? Here I go.
Yo, man, last night I was walking through the house.
Okay, it's 8:30, and you are listening to the live broadcast of the Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, it's Sunday, November 24th. This is Dan. I enjoyed that prelude of Marilyn Scott singing and performing and acting. I love her. I love that woman. Well, I don't love her, but, I mean, she's just great to listen to. I like her songs. Her first song caught me years ago. It was called If Today Was the Last of All Days, or The Last of All Days. In fact, that's what I started the show out with. Not the started the show, but I mean the 8 o'clock hour with that song. Because it got me thinking. It got me thinking, you know, if today was the last of all days of my life, how would I have spent it? If you knew your life was going to be over, what would you do? Would you do anything differently? I mean, you know, I don't even know. I don't want to say that we're judged. I don't even know what goes on. You know, I think there's a God and a higher power and all that. But I'm sure the last day of our lives, this is going to be one that's going to make or break us, whether we're going forward into the universe of eternity, or if we're going to, I don't know, just stay in our graves for that matter and be ignored and whatever. But, oh well, that's not for this brain of mine to worry about today. Listen, guys, I just want to thank you all for your commitment to listening to the show over the years. You know, we try to bring some guests on, and I'm going to continue to try to bring some guests on. It's always nice when we get somebody on and share their own personal experience, strength, and hope, or, you know, something like that, just to get involved and to share, you know, what they know, what worked for them, what's going on in their lives. And it's just great to hear a different version, a different aspect of it, and share it with somebody so that maybe they can get and have a better life. And that's what I want for you, is a better life. I want one for me and my children, my two daughters on the West Coast, Jessica and Natalie, my son traveling across the country. Dan, have a good trip. I hope you're enjoying yourself and finding what's going to work best for you in your life. I have to laugh because I never had the courage to do that, to just take off and travel around. I'm glad he's doing it. I'm really happy for him. So, listen, to my friends, Tony, thank you for your support over the last months in getting to know you. And, you know, there's always friends that I need to thank and recognize, and I don't. And I'm not that I care about you any less. You know, my little friend, Leonie, in Germany, she is, you know, doing really wonderful. Helmut and Rosa, okay? They're excellent people. You know, right now it is about, I think they're ahead of us 7 hours. So it's pretty late for them. Let's see, 4.5 hours, yeah, 7, 6, 4. So it's about 3:30 in the morning, something like that. And my new friend, Danielle, or Alice, whatever you're calling yourself these days, in Africa. Yeah, okay, in Ghana. So there's a lot of people out there in the world, and we all need something, and we all need love. Reach out, give some love, let people know you care, and, you know, make it about them. Make it about them, you know. Take care of yourselves. Have a great job. We're going to be back next week again. Never know if I'm going to do a good long show or if we're going to do a short show or anything, but we will be back next week. It is the holiday weekend, Thanksgiving. I want to, let's talk about some Thanksgiving stories. How about that? We could do that next week. It'd be nice to plan these things. What do you think? Next week, I will be spending Thanksgiving with my wife and her sister and brother-in-law. Two great people, Jenny and her husband, just wonderful people. And we'll see that. I'll see my, stepdaughters, my wife's daughters. And we'll have some fun. It'll be nice. And it'll be a different Thanksgiving for me. So for those of you that would like company on Thanksgiving, head to an AA club. A lot of them are going to be open. They're going to be having vigils. You know, find an AA club. Just call 1-800 Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know. Look it up in the phone book or call 411. Check out the internet and go hit an AA club and share your story with somebody. That's what we want to do. Share your story for a moment of glory. Okay? We're going to be back next week and more. So thanks for listening. I'm going to end the show early tonight. Have a great week unless you have other plans. Remember, recovery is no accident. It is a commitment to wanting more in someone in your life. So make that commitment, and if you need help, give us a call. Okay? Take care.